Pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
Let's begin reading in verse number 1 of 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her, unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, "Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them, and be clean?" So he turned, and went away in a rage. And his servants came near, and spake unto him, and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the opportunity to come this morning and read your word. We thank you for your word. We just love the stories here in these Old Testament books. They're just so helpful to our hearts. Lord, we ask you to bless this time now, Father, as we preach your word. Lord, I can't do it, but you can, and I ask that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. And Naaman receiving his cure here. And what a great story. I mean, this guy had leprosy, and he wanted a cure. And if you had leprosy, you would want a cure. And as he goes to get the cure, the preacher wouldn't even come out and see him. Well, that'd make us happy, wouldn't it? You go down to the hospital and the preacher just maybe wait over in the waiting room and send somebody in there and say, "Hey, he's over there praying for you, but he's not coming in." If you had leprosy, I promise you I'd do the exact same thing. I would not come in your room with you. I might have to retire on that one. But he goes and I mean, I would be upset too. I don't blame Naaman. He goes and he comes all this way, and he brings these gifts, and he's gone to 2 different kings, and then they finally get him over to this prophet, and he says, "Well, just tell him to go down there and wash in the Jordan River." And I've seen pictures of the Jordan River. I'm sure you have too. Some places it looks pretty nice. Sometimes it looks a little small. Some places it looks a little bigger, but it's not much of a river. I don't know that it's much different than the Harpeth River. But could you imagine getting diagnosed with something and your doctor saying, "Well, just go down there and take a bath 7 times in the Harpeth River"? I don't know that I'd like that very much, and I surely wouldn't want to see his bill coming in the mail for that doctor's appointment. And Naaman gets a little upset, and I don't blame him. But Naaman's servant says something to him that's just so great. He said, "If that preacher had asked you to do some great thing, you would have done it. Without even question, you would have done it." And that smote Naaman's heart, and he said, "All right, I'm going to go and do what he said." And we read very clearly that he's healed of his leprosy. And in Naaman receiving his cure, physically seeing this story happen, spiritually, every saved person here this morning should be able to see themselves in Naaman and the power of saving faith. And what a beautiful picture that we have here of salvation through faith in God's Word. I begin first by saying Naaman was condemned. Naaman was a leper. You were contagious. You were catching. You couldn't be around the other people. You couldn't disguise it. You couldn't dress it up. You were condemned. One author wrote, "His beautiful uniform and his mighty victories could not disguise the fact that Naaman was a dead man, for he had a disease that man could not cure." Naaman was condemned. Clearly, in the book of Leviticus, we can read about leprosy and see that in the Old Testament, this outward physical disease was to us in the New Testament a type of sin. Leprosy was sin, essentially. And I would say to you this morning that we too were once dead in our sins. We too were once condemned. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sinned." I'm so glad to be made alive. He has quickened me. He has made me alive. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. Naaman was condemned. Naaman was an enemy. He was a Gentile. And as a Gentile, he was outside of Israel's friendship and thus outside of God's kindness. But he had a Jewish maid serving in his home. Before salvation, we're all enemies of God.
Right.
If you're here today and you've never been saved, I don't mean to offend you with that, but it's just how the Bible reads. Well, you're an enemy of God until your sins are forgiven and you've accepted Jesus' gift of salvation. God gave His Son for us while we were still enemies. I want to read to you from Romans chapter 5 this morning, verse 6 all the way down to verse number 10. You can follow along if you'd like, but I'd like for you to hear these words. "For when we were yet without sin, or when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die." And that's the case. Not even for the best of you would I maybe give my own life. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." We were enemies of God, but He loved us there. Naaman was an enemy. He was condemned in his leprosy. He was an enemy. He was outside of Israel's their camp or their nation. Israel was the only nation at this time whose God was the Lord. And only God would only deal with Israel. Everyone else, He told them to stay away from them. He told them to kill them. Naaman was outside of this. But God, through this little Jewish maid, showed Naaman grace. And I would say praise the Lord this morning for those Jewish maids, so to speak, in our lives. Do you remember who it was for you when you were condemned, when you were an enemy of God, who was sort of that Jewish maid, that Christian that wouldn't leave you alone, or that person who made sure to pray for you, or that person who showed you how to become a Christian? Praise God for this Jewish maid in Naaman's house, because Naaman heard a witness. This Jewish maid loved her master. She was far from home, but she never forgot her God and was quick to witness to Naaman's wife of his great power. And she said, "Oh, if we were just back home where I was raised, there's a man there who could heal Naaman." And can you imagine that? Had she not been faithful as a worker in this house, she would not have been an effective witness. They wouldn't have listened to her. But because of her faithfulness, her witness was rewarded. You and I are Christ's witnesses today. We may be just servants. We may be stuck off in a far country. And we are. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen? But let's not forget our God here in this far country. Naaman tried to save himself. He tried every possible way to get a cure for his leprosy. We don't have the account of it, but I imagine before we pick up Naaman here in our story, he had probably been to doctors. He had probably taken treatment. He had probably tried to do whatever it is they did to make it go away. And then as we pick it up here, he heard that there was a cure. So he went to the king of Syria. He could do nothing. So he sent him on to the king of Israel, who was also unable to do anything. Lost in our sins, we tried to do all that we could to reconcile ourselves. All the while, Christ had already done the work. Praise God, He had. All we had to do was bow a knee and accept it. Praise God for that. But you know, Naaman didn't know. He wasn't raised in Israel. He wasn't raised learning about God. He wasn't raised around God's people. He just tried and he did what he did know. Do you notice how he packed for his journey to go be healed? He took a bunch of suits with him, and he took a lot of money with him. Naaman was going to buy his cure. If anything, he was going to just overwhelm whoever cured him with thankfulness. Now, I don't know about this prophet here. Was that Elisha or Elijah that we have here? Elisha? Now, I'm a preacher. I'm no prophet. But I like suits. A man come to me to pray for him and was giving me 10 suits or how many it was there. I don't know if I'd turn him down. Elisha's a better man. Amen, preacher. Do you Amen. Like suits that much? I don't know. Yeah, that's right. But Naaman tried to save himself. Lost in our sins, we tried to do all we could to reconcile ourselves. And we realize that Naaman didn't know. He just tried to do what he did know. We may try to purchase salvation or earn it, but it's just not possible. You can't live good enough to be in God's good graces. You can be the best person on the face of this earth. You can be the best member of this church. You can be the best Christian, so to speak, in your community and not be saved and die and go to hell. You can't earn God's salvation. You can't deserve God's salvation. You can't work for God's salvation. No one deserves to be saved. But God saves us anyhow. Praise God. And then we see where Naaman was called by God. He didn't know who to go to. He just heard there was a man there, and his king sent him to the other king. And that king said, "Man, these guys are trying to start a war with me. How am I supposed to save this man's life? Am I God?" That's what the king of Israel said. And he rent his clothes and said, I don't know what to do. But Elisha heard about that. How do you think Elisha heard? My preacher growing up would always, when we wondered how he knew things, he would always say, "A little bird told me." Well, I found out his little bird was people who gossip. So I quit telling people things. But I believe the Holy Spirit of God let Elisha know.
Hey,
I'm glad on March the 9th, 1994, that's what it was for me, the Holy Spirit of God drew me to salvation. That is a wonderful thing. I was lost and undone, but He drew me to be saved. What a wonderful thing. And Naaman, we see here, was clearly called by God. Elisha heard about him and sent for him. And it works the same way for us. In our ignorance of God's grace and healing, the Holy Spirit draws us to Himself. Think about when you got saved. Think about what you were trying to do. I have people come to me from time to time and they'll say, "All right, preacher, I want you to baptize me." I say, "Well, that's great. I'd love to baptize you just because I like putting people's heads underwater and holding it down there." That's a little odd, isn't it? But I say, "But first, before you get baptized, are you saved? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you asked Him to forgive you of your sins?" People will come and they'll bring a large donation. At the church I worked at in Georgia, we had a man once and he brought a large sum of money. And our preacher wanted to accept that large sum of money really bad. But he said, "Preacher, I'm ready to change. I'm ready to get all my sins forgiven and here's my check for it." And our preacher had to say to him, "No, you can't buy salvation. You can't buy God's good graces. There's no price you can put on that. It takes being called by God. No one deserves to be saved, and it's only through the gracious calling of the Spirit that anyone comes to Christ. John 6:37 says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out."
Amen. That's right. Amen.
But for Naaman, he couldn't accept this simple solution. It was clear. He traveled all this way. He brought all this stuff and he wanted to be healed. And when he got there, he didn't even meet the man. He was told, "Just go and dip in the river and you'll be healed." And without even trying it, he said, "No, it can't be that easy." He said, "Oh, river, get in the river. We've got cleaner rivers where I come from." If that's all there is to it, I could have gotten a river back home. I expected him to come out with his magic wand and say some words and spread it over my head. Well, I'm so glad Elisha didn't go out.
Amen.
If Elisha had went out, this passage could be mistaken for all of eternity that a man can help you. Man can't help you.
That's right.
Elisha couldn't help this man.
Amen.
We misunderstand these prophets a lot of time and we give them credit for things they didn't do. They were just channels being used by God. They weren't actually able to do anything. It was the Spirit of God working through them that did it. God, to God be the glory.
That's right.
But this man's condition was so great that he expected some great thing to receive his healing. That's what I want to preach to you about this morning. Some great thing. Elisha didn't come out to see him. He didn't want to wash in the Jordan. But the point was clear. The man of God couldn't fix his condition through some ritual. Only God could. And the same is true today. Some great thing has already happened. Jesus died on the cross.
Amen.
But sadly, so many can't accept that in its simplicity. What do you mean it's already been done? What do you mean all I have to do is accept it? What do you mean I just have to believe? Some great thing. Naaman's servant pointed this out to him. Look with me again at verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean. If he had asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Some great thing. How unreasonable it is to resist God's simple way of salvation. It's very unreasonable. Now for you and I, it's simple. It was a great day in my life, I'll admit that.
Amen.
But at the time, I'll just level with you this morning. As a lost child in church, I was waiting on some great thing. Lightning bolts from heaven, some kind of wind to blow through the church, the preacher to come to me and grab me by the shirt and say, Get saved. I didn't know what it was going to be, but I kept waiting on that. I had heard these amazing stories of these other people in our church's testimony. And they talked about how they about ripped the back of the pew off, holding on real tight. And they couldn't quit sweating or they couldn't sleep right. And all these stories, I'd heard all this and I grew up in church. And I kept waiting on some great thing to happen for me because I wanted to get saved. I was a lost child and I knew it and I hated going to church because I felt awful. Everybody else there was saved and happy. But if I died, the preacher said I was going to hell. And I kept waiting on some great thing to happen. And it never would. But it was never going to. Some great thing had already happened.
Amen.
Jesus had already died for my sins.
That's right. Amen.
All I had to do was bow a knee and accept that.
Amen.
But sadly, so many can't accept that in its simplicity. So I'm not going to preach a great sermon to you here this morning. Because some great thing has already been done. I just want to give you two simple, easy little things, and then we'll go home. Naaman's faith was proved by his works, and he trusted the Word and acted upon it. It was just that easy. So first, I would say to you this morning, if you're here today and you're an unbeliever, if you're like me, if you were like how I was, you're in church, but you don't know if you're going to heaven or hell, you're just not sure, you're waiting on some great thing, here's what I want to say to you. Salvation is simple. It's just simple. Don't wait on some great thing. Don't wait on some great message. Don't wait on some great preacher. Don't wait on some great person. You may wait too long. Salvation is simple. Just accept it. Just become a Christian. Romans 10:13. I bet almost all of you in here can quote Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To get to heaven, you've got to be saved. You can't go into heaven with sin. To have your sin forgiven, Jesus had to die on the cross. And He did that already. For you to have those sins forgiven, since Jesus died on the cross, you've had to ask for forgiveness of sin.
That's right.
It's that simple. We feel our sin state is so great that our salvation should be worked out through some great thing. Even at 11 years old, a church kid, I was so sheltered. I'll admit this. Some of you won't get this, and some of you will laugh at this. I was so sheltered, I didn't know who MC Hammer was. Okay, there, I got one laugh. one of the most popular cultural people through the 90s during that time when I was 11 years old, and I didn't know who that was. I could say the name, and I tried that like I knew who he was because I didn't want to be embarrassed around my friends. But that's how sheltered I was. I didn't know who I didn't know what he did. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know much about him at all. But even in that state, in that sheltered life, I don't know what I had done at that point that was sin, but I had. But even there, I felt that my sin was so great that there's no way that a perfect God in a perfect heaven could ever forgive me. And if He did, it had to be some miraculous, wonderful, amazing thing. But it wasn't. There's no sin too great for God to forgive.
Amen. That's right.
There's no person such a sinner that God can't forgive them. If there were ever one person that God couldn't forgive their sin, then none of us could be forgiven. Before salvation, we feel so dirty that we just don't know if God could clean us. For me, I wanted to work my salvation out with guilt. I thought if I feel guilty enough about my sin, then maybe that'll make up for it. If I feel so bad about me, then maybe I'll be all right and God will understand. I wanted to work it out with good works. I thought, okay, I'm gonna start reading my Bible every day and praying, going to church and acting like I enjoy it, and I'll even be a preacher and try to do good things for God. And surely I can't go to hell if I stand before God and I've lived my whole life for Him. I wanted to work it out with good works. It didn't work. I tried that. Even as a kid, I tried those things. And I would fail. Or I'd wake up the next day and think, I know this isn't it. I know this isn't going to work. I tried to work it out with gratitude. I tried to say, well, maybe if I were just more thankful that Jesus died on the cross. Easter time would roll around. I'd be thinking about Jesus dying on the cross and getting up from the dead for me. And I think, maybe if I'm just more thankful. A larger amount of gratitude. But it didn't work. We feel our sin state is so great that our salvation should be worked out through some great thing. We doubt God to the place that we feel we should prove, or that He should prove Himself with some great thing. I don't want to go to hell. Now I'm just speaking hypothetically here. I don't want to go to hell. But if there is a God, I hope He'll save me. Lord, if You do exist, okay, go ahead and save me. We doubt God to the place we feel like, okay, if He really does exist, well, He ought to prove Himself. You know, people, if there really is a God in heaven, let Him strike me dead right now. I've heard people say that. Why? Look around. He didn't have to, but He already has. Some great thing has already happened.
Amen.
Some great thing is not going to happen to cause you to believe in Him. It's like a child with Santa Claus. They don't know if he exists or not, but they hope He does because they want to get presents. But they think, if I could ever see Him, well, then I'd know. Then I'd know I'm getting presents. When we try to work out salvation on that same level, it doesn't work that way. God's not the tooth fairy. God is God.
Amen.
He's our almighty Creator, and He did all of this.
Amen.
This world around you. But then some say, but what about the bad? If He is almighty God, well, then how can He allow all this bad to happen? He loves us. Even when we do bad, He allows it. It's not some great thing for God to prove Himself to you. It's just faith. Just believing. For some, our simple salvation is not complex enough to explain eternity. If this is going to work for me through all eternity, how could it be this simple and this easy? I mean, there's things that I can do that take me 5 seconds to get them done, but they only last a month. How can something that's just as easy as bowing my knee and saying a prayer work for the whole rest of my life? There's got to be more work that goes into it. It's got to be more complex than that. But it's not.
That's right.
It's not.
Amen. That's right.
For some, for God to be real and to have really created all of this, well, He sure didn't make salvation very complex. I mean, for some, you can be educated to the point of you understand every little part, intricate part of the universe. Every little cell, every little molecule, and you see how great creation is. And you think to yourself, well, if God really did do all these little minute details, salvation would have to be more complex. But it's not.
That's right.
It's not some great thing. God hasn't made it hard. He did require some great thing of Himself. Well, that's hard to swallow, isn't it? Simple for you and I, great and hard for Him. Imagine sitting on your throne in heaven while your son dies for a bunch of people who were cursing him at the very time that he was dying for their sins. Oh, it was some great thing for God. Sure it was.
Yes, that's right.
But He left you and I off easy. Not some great thing for us. So to unbelievers here today, I want to say salvation is simple. Stop waiting on some great thing. Come this morning and pray. Ask God to forgive you of your sins and get saved. To the believers here today, the last thing I want to say is that service is simple. Once we get saved, something just happens inside of us. We become a new creation.
Right.
And it intrigues us to do something for God for the rest of our lives. But too many times, we try to do more than He ever expects of us. And we live this just depressed Christian life. Instead of having a victorious Christian life with a smile on our face. I want you to leave here today, believer, knowing that service to God is simple.
Amen.
It's very easy. It's not hard. He doesn't want you to be super saint. You pull your coat open and there's a big S on your chest. That's not who God's looking for. He wants you to be who He made you to be.
Amen.
Who you are right now, that's what God wants from you. Jesus gave a few small things that we need to do for Him as believers. Very simple. Be baptized. You get saved, Jesus wants you to be baptized. Follow His example and do as He commanded. He wants you to take the Lord's Supper. Well, it's easier all the time, isn't it? Some of you are getting some things checked off your checklist. You've been baptized, you take the Lord's Supper. We do it once a month here. Those are the things that Jesus told the church to do. And then in Acts, we saw where His followers, as He left and went up to heaven, He told them to go and tell the things that they had seen and heard. Well, I may not can tell you a lot of things. There's things in this Bible that I may not understand enough to talk to you about. But I can tell you what I've seen, and I can tell you what I've heard.
That's right.
Can you tell me what you've seen and heard? Sure you can.
Amen.
That's all Jesus asked of us. Be baptized, take the Lord's Supper, and then tell what we've seen and heard. And in our walk with Him, we will see that He's given us tools to help with those things. We read His Word for direction. We praise God for the Word of God to give us direction as we do these things. We pray to Him for help. Lord, help me. I'm trying to serve You, do what You'd have me to do. Help me. And then we meet together and we worship Him. It's that simple. But so many times, that just seems too simple, doesn't it? Some of you are looking at me right now with almost a smirk, thinking, no, He's just trying to simplify it to make me feel good when I leave today. Serving God's a whole lot harder than that. It's not. You're sitting around waiting on God to make you the next Billy Graham, when what you don't realize is you already are the next Billy Graham in your area of the world.
Amen. That's right.
Service to God is simple. If He required some great thing of us, we would do it. But how many days go by where we forget to tell what we've seen or heard? How many days go by that the Word of God is never opened? Our head is never bowed in prayer. Those are just simple little things. But if He said, I want you to raise money and make a trek to Washington and bust through the doors of the government and tell them all about Me, we might jump on that bandwagon and give our all to try and get that done. Some great thing. But it's the simple things that we neglect. The servant asked Him here, My Father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? Salvation is simple.
Amen.
Service
Amen.
Is simple. Do the simple thing. Don't overthink it. Anybody else guilty of that besides me? I overthink everything. I tried to cook some steaks Friday night. I have cooked steaks a million times. We've been married 10 years. You can tell I like to eat steaks. And so as much as we can afford to buy the meat, we cook the steaks. Well, I just decided Friday night needed to be special. Not for any real reason. I just decided they need to be. And I got on the internet and I said, I'm going to look up how other people are cooking steaks. And I got on there and I was looking it up and I went and followed somebody else's directions. But I also did what I normally already do to mine anyways. And those things come off the grill and they look really good. They were so salty, we couldn't hardly eat them. Well, I'd overdone it. I had overthought the thing. I did what I already do. Then I tried to add some other things to it. And I promise if you ever come over and I cook you a steak, I'll try my best to do what I know works. Put some Dales on it and throw it on the grill. That just works. You don't have to do anything else to it than that. Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. It's simple. To the Christian today, I'd say to you, serve God daily with the simple things He's asked of you. Just do those things. Don't try to do that big thing. Don't try to do some great thing. And hey, have a vision though. Have a goal. That's all right. But if you forget those small little steps, when you try to get there, it'll all crumble underneath you. Do those simple things every day. We like to say, well, I know He'll not put on me more than I can bear. Don't we like to say that? How many times has He really put on you? Much of anything. I put it on myself. I try to worry about my problems and everybody else's too. It's not Him putting it on us. It's us putting it on ourselves.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.